Hello. Is it on? Okay. Rod said, we are Will and Tommy Standish, and you know, if you're joining us online or for the first time today, we are not who's usually up here. That's Drew. We're very thankful for the opportunity to share with you this morning about something that we're extremely passionate about and that God's put on our lives and in our hearts. And I'd like to start with prayer before we get started this morning, and let's just get going. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to share what you are doing in Texas and Mexico through missionary teams and the ministry we work with. We know that you would put your words out of our mouths this morning and not ours, and we just come before you and just sharing what you have done with our family here at Grace. In your name we pray, amen. Are we clicked in? Okay, apparently it works over here.
Just want to click for me?
Yeah, I'll click for you.
Okay. So it's kind of hard to figure out what all we wanted to put in this, but we wanted to do a lot of like information about like what the heck is this a ministry that we go to, where do we go, what do we do. There's a lot of information, so hopefully we don't go too long here.
Chiefs don't play till 2, so we're good. We got plenty of time.
So United in Christ Ministry Worldwide is the actual ministry, and Mark and Chacho are the two guys who founded the ministry. Chacho is from Mexico, and Mark is from Ohio, and they actually met in Florida back in 1998, and when they met, it all kind of started there, and God put on their heart to go reach the nations. And so then they ended up doing their headquarters in Los Fresnos, Texas, which is where the base currently is now as well. They currently have over 50 projects that they oversee within Texas and Mexico. Churches, there are rehab centers, there's soup kitchens, there's an orphanage, lots of different things, not just churches that they've planted. They have a mission in India, a nonprofit organization in Israel, and they visit Israel usually once or twice a year. So they've really have, and over the last 20 years, done a lot with that mission of going to the nations. And so that's kind of where the missions part actually started. Two of my favorite people right there. Go ahead. And then this is the Cathcart family. And so the parents are Jason and Angela, so that's not confusing for us at all. another Jason and Angela that we know. But Jason is the director, is one of the directors in the ministry, and he's our regional coordinator. They live in Emporia, and so that's kind of how we got started with this, is we got connected to them. And so he's the one that plans and organizes our entire trips every single time. Their whole family goes a lot of times with all six of their kids. Some of them don't always come now because they're older. But they always come, and his wife always does the food and organizes all of that and does a lot of shopping. And so they are like very pivotal in this whole trip even being possible. It's just having them organize everything and plan everything for us. So also awesome people that we love. Go ahead. Maybe.
All right, so I'll trade you spots here. Tommy mentioned that they have a mission base in Los Fresnos, Texas, and this whole ministry started really with a white tent in the grass on a plot of land, and has since blossomed into a beautiful base for teams to come and use. There's a really interesting story about the plot of land they bought. So they bought the land, and they put a tent, put an office building, and then several years later, they're going through the deed for the property they bought, and it's actually coming to find out that the plot of land they bought was called the Land of the Holy Spirit, which is actually now the name of their church. So this photo is about circa 2011, so my first time down there was in 2010, so this was pretty much my experience, except that smaller building in the back wasn't finished yet because we were building it in 2010. So since then, this has been poured concrete and had a number of expansions. Go ahead. This is the office building. Was the first concrete building on the base, It was actually their home for the longest time. Now they have a home that was built on the far side of the property, but this is really the start of this ministry, was this one really tiny house. All right. And since then, it's blossomed into a dormitory where we stay when we go down there. There's a boys and girls dorm on this building, and really only had room for about 40 people. Go ahead. Maybe even less, yeah. And since they've added a maintenance shop, and in the back there, and it's kind of hard to see, but there's another picture of that spot later, but there's a new storage building going up. Good. And then there's the School of Missions, which during times that aren't COVID is actually a school where they have actual missions classes just year-round during the year that the local church does. And it's also kind of like our home base when we go there. It's our meeting points where we eat breakfast. It's kind of like loosely a fellowship hall-esque type of building. And then we have a covered pavilion built several years ago that's really nice to have. And to the left of that is a prayer garden that's a beautiful space just to come and sit and pray and get connected with God. And then probably my new favorite building is a new dormitory that was completed this year. We actually got to stay in there for the first time. Our team got to stay there for the first time in December. And it's got a 3-family suite, 6 individual rooms, and 2 more dorms. It's effectively tripled the amount of people that could come and stay comfortably on the mission base. So it's a huge blessing to the ministry.
And real quick, before we move into this, probably what I'd tack onto that is that it may not seem relevant to like have all those pictures because you guys have never seen it. But when we first went in 2013, the church and that in the office building and the dorms, that was it. There wasn't anything else there. So in the last little over 7 years, most of those buildings have been built by teams. Some of which were the Kansas teams that went. So it's very significant for us because that's how much it's grown, and we feel like, in such a short time, and how much God has just like blessed that place. Just amazing, all the things that have gone on there. So anyway, one of the biggest questions we get is, so what do you do on the trips? Or so do you guys do construction projects? A lot of people just assume that's what we're doing, which we have never actually done a construction project in Mexico on any of our trips. We've done stuff on the mission base in Texas, but never actually in Mexico. So that's not usually what we do. So I want to go talk a little bit about that. And hopefully I don't talk too long about this because I feel like there's like a billion things I could talk about here. So I'll try to go somewhat fast. All right, go ahead. So a couple things just in general on the Kansas trips. There's usually 3 trips: spring break, summer, and Christmas. My first trip was spring break, and I haven't been on a spring break trip since. We usually go summer and Christmas. Primarily summer is the youth camp type of trip, where they have a youth camp that they started, and I'll talk more about that a little bit. And then some types of trips, we do like one location, and we'll go to one place in Mexico, and we'll go there several days in a row, or there's multiple locations. Another thing I didn't put on here, but when we go, people don't realize that we don't actually stay in Mexico. We stay on the missions base, which is the dorms and things you just saw. And if we cross in, we cross in, and we come back that same day, and then we go in and come back that same day. With a few exceptions, during youth camp, we've stayed the night in Mexico. But most of the time, we don't stay the night in Mexico. We just go in and come back out. Go ahead. So a few events that we do commonly is VBS outreach. Is like the most common thing we do. So whether it's at one location or we go to several locations throughout the week and we just do a mini VBS, very much focused on the kids. We do a lesson, maybe do a craft or do a game and skits and music, anything like that. We commonly have raffles. We started doing that more recently. So lots of different things that we do kind of in a VBS style for the kids usually is the focus. We do medical outreaches sometimes. We have a medical team. They've done carnivals. We have a guy that owns a bike shop, so he does a lot of bike repair. We've done bike races and raffled off bikes. He actually started a bike shop in Mexico as well. Distribution, I didn't put the gift bags, but because that one's like specifically for Christmas. But in addition to that, sometimes we distribute food bags and clothing bags also to the people while we're there, provide meals at the soup kitchens. Something we've done more recently, we'll go to people's houses and we'll pray with them if there's anything they need us to pray with them for, and just kind of come into their house, and then the ministry pays for food, and we all eat together. Or sometimes we just go out and invite them to the churches or to our event that is happening, and we'll go out in the neighborhood and invite them in as well. So those are some of the things, a brief list of a lot of the things that we've done in Mexico as a summary. Did I miss anything on that?
I think I covered it.
There's a lot. And then we got just some fun pictures. So one of them, time out. Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay, I was thinking that this one wasn't the first one, but maybe it is. There's the one on the left is a kid that got a gift bag, and this was from, all of these are from like several years ago, so no one's wearing masks or anything, so just so you know. But he was very excited about just an empty binder, and it was just so cute watching him open his bag. And then the other one is they did a baseball camp where they did a week long, like at one location, and at the end, all of the kids actually got baseball gear that were donated. So you can see he's very excited about that.
Can you go back a couple slides for me, Dave? Is there nothing there?
Is there nothing there?
Okay.
Okay, well, apparently some of my pictures are disappeared. Okay, then keep going. All right, some other events that we've done, because we do a lot in Mexico, but a lot of times we also do things in Texas. So Festival of Lights is a big one. Again, that's a Christmas one, and it's actually a fundraiser for the ministry and the people on the Texas side. We'll make food. Usually there's a lot of Mexican food, and they have little food booths, and then you pay money to get tickets for food, and so it's a fundraiser for them. We usually have games, and there's live music, and it's really fun. This year we didn't quite get to do that exactly, but I think you're going to talk about that yep. later, right? Like I said, the missions camp, and while I could spend forever talking about the missions camp, I did want to focus on it a little bit because I feel like that's a big thing. We've done it 4 years, didn't get to do it last year, but it's focused, of course, on, it's basically like a church youth camp, but we do classes on missions and classes on evangelizing and different classes like that. So part of it is classes. There's practical learning classes. We've done car repair classes and finances and things like that. But then also it's actually going out and practicing what we're teaching them. So we may do one of those VBS outreaches, but the youth are the ones that plan it, and the youth have to figure out what it is that we're going to do. We just help them with getting what they need, basically, to do it. So it's very youth-driven. They do all the music. They do devotions every morning. The youth are the ones that kind of are in charge of it, and not us. So it's an awesome experience, and it's also a little bit longer of a trip. It's usually more like 10 days. And so that's been some of our favorite trips, I feel like, yeah. Our youth camp trips. Those are pretty awesome. Flea market outreach, we've gone to flea markets, done a little outreach. Refugee camps, that's another big one. We've only been on two trips where we did that.
Yes.
But the refugee camps right inside Mexico. So these are people sitting in camps, some of them living just out of tents. Waiting to be able to get into the U.S., waiting for papers and trying to get in to the U.S. We went in a summer and Christmas, and between summer there was about 200 people that we fed, and then in Christmas it was like 800 people, and it had grown a lot. The tents were everywhere. There was almost no room for us to even do our event because there were so many people there, but it's very interesting to hear some of their stories. And sad to see, I guess, some of the living conditions that they're in and how desperate they are to just try and get into the U.S. and they're just waiting with barely anything. So those ones, I feel like, are impactful and impactful outreach we've done. Pastor appreciation events. We've done evangelizing, like, in parks and things, especially with the youth and having them practice just on the Texas side. And, of course, we do have some construction projects, like you saw all those buildings that were built on base. Those are usually things that we work on our trips as well. Not really as much youth camp, but the other trips, for sure.
All right,
those pictures seem to be working. So there was one of our practical classes, youth camp, doing some car stuff and learning the basics of vehicles and automotives. And then a construction picture that I would think was the maintenance building a few years ago that they were building. There's a refugee camp. And those were a whole bunch of the tents that the summer before, those were not there. But there was lots of tents where people were living, and it's hard to see, but there's a huge crowd of people in the background that are waiting in line to get food. And then all the kids, those were all kids at the refugee camp also, on the right-hand side there. They were very excited about doing their craft or about really doing getting anything. They were just so excited for anything. We actually had a slight moment where we were a little bit almost probably the most only time I feel like we had like an unsafe moment, because all the kids thought that we were giving out gift bags and they all just rushed. So that was a slightly scary moment, but it was all good. It ended up being okay. The refugee camps, yeah, I think are one of those that are a big impact for us. All right, go ahead. All right, and we do some fun things. We've gone to the beach. We're not that far from South Padre Island, so we've gone to the beach there. We've do shopping in Mexico. There's always good food, so that's always awesome. We've done scavenger hunts. Festival of Lights is fun. Youth camp, we do a lot of competitions and fun stuff. We go to the movies sometimes. We have like local bands do concerts. So there are some fun things that we do as well as we're working. Go ahead. There's a beach picture. There's a food from Mario's, our favorite place. We go there every time now. As soon as we get it, that's the first thing we do. We get to Los Fresnos. We don't even go to the mission base. We go to Mario's and get food every time.
They're really that good.
Yeah. We kind of love it. Yeah, some aguas frescas also. That's actually in Mexico, though. Those are good if you've never had an aguas fresca. I'm never good at explaining it. Basically, it's just fruit.
It's basically blended fruit with sugar.
And it's good. I don't know.
It's a cold, delicious drink.
It's an experience. And then the ones on the right are both from youth camp. One of them was we did a youth camp event with youth in Mexico. So it was just a big event with a whole bunch of youth. And that's fun, and trying to communicate when some people don't speak the language, and that's been fun. But we played a lot of games, and then we also had a little concert on one of our youth camps, so that's what that one is.
All right. So now we get to our latest trip, and here, you can have that. Before we get into what we talk about, before every trip, Jason, our mission coordinator, he identifies a passage or a verse that relates to our trip in some way, as a method of encouragement for us for the week. So for this trip, our passage comes from Isaiah 58, and I'd like to share that with you. I'm going to start reading in, I think, verse 6 and read through 10. So it reads, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, and with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday." So our hope was that through the good works we were going to do, God's light would shine through us. So in verse 8, it mentions light breaking forth like the new dawn. One of our devotions on Monday talked about that new dawn being like a reset, kind of like no longer dwelling on the past, but looking forward to a new year, full of healing and protection, God's healing and God's protection. And that was our prayer for the week, that God's healing and protection would surround those we came in contact with, and that God's light would shine over the next year and bring peace to those communities. All right, so we had some expectations and goals for our trip. As Tommy mentioned earlier, and you guys know, a big part of what we were doing this winter was gift bags for the kids. There's also a construction project that we wanted to get started. We had some outreaches to do in Mexico. We had Festival of the Lights to do, a prayer night, and a ministry called Bread of Life. So with Festival of Lights, usually it's a big event where everybody's getting together and hanging out, and it's a fundraiser for the church. Well, obviously with COVID, we couldn't really do that this year. So we ended up just doing a plate sale, kind of spur of the moment on Wednesday, decided we were going to do a plate sale. The event was on Friday. So we did a plate sale and ended up raising about 75% of what we usually do on short notice. So that was a big blessing to the church. And all those funds went to their mission in India. So that's generally where those funds raised during this time go, is to either Israel or India, wherever they're most needed. And then prayer night, it was something we did in Texas as a team. And it's an event where it's based around topical prayer. So what we did is we split up into several different groups and had stations. And what we would do is we'd have some worship, and then we would pray either individually or as a table for 5 minutes at a station, and then move on to a next station. So by the end of all six stations, you've prayed for a half hour. And if you've never prayed for a half hour before, man, it definitely doesn't feel like a half hour when you do it collectively as a family like that. And then Bread of Life is a new ministry they started this summer, something we got to be a part of a little bit this summer too. But it is a offset of their Spanish-speaking church. It's a new English-speaking church called Bread of Life. And what they do every Wednesday is they feed the elderly or others who need food every Wednesday. It's all free for those people. So I think we made about 125 plates on Wednesday afternoon and delivered those. All right, you're good. You want to talk about gift bags?
All right, gift bag prep. So something that a lot of you all helped us with, which was awesome. As you can see, this is kind of how it starts, and this actually probably isn't even the worst picture of how it starts. But there's a lot of stuff and a lot of things to organize. And so when we first started in the morning, we had to figure out what do we have and how can we organize this. And so we started out with 75 gift bags that were already created and already made, which was awesome. We had to make 325 in order to satisfy all the lists that we had from each of the churches in Mexico that they wanted them to be eventually be delivered to, three of which we were doing throughout the week that our team was delivering. And so 325 was like minimum goal, but then extras on top of that, because we usually take extras every time we go for the kids that aren't on the list from the churches. So we knew we had a lot to do. So in the morning, we kind of organized everything. And kind of started that process. And so you can see here's where we're trying to like organize things, kind of all the school supplies together and all of that from all just the bulk items that we have. And then in the afternoon, we had a group of five people, and I've also had never been on the gift bag crew before. Like I knew kind of what they did, but I've never been a part of it. I'm usually doing something else. Luckily, I like organizing things, so it was actually kind of fun for me. But we only had five people in the afternoon, so we were just like, okay, we're just going to try and crank out as many of these as we can. Our goal was by the end of the week to make sure we had everything that we needed for all the churches. We got all 325 bags done, sorted, and organized for the churches in that first day. Which was amazing because we were like, we're probably going to, you know, at least have to spend a couple days on this. But even with the few people we had, I think once we got a system, we just started going. And we ended up getting all of them done, and all we had to do was some extras the next day. So it was such a blessing that with such a small group, generally we have like 30 to 40 people at least on Christmas trips, and we only had, what was it?
We brought nine.
Nine? Okay.
Yeah.
I was like nine from Kansas, and then we had a few other people there as well. So it was a much smaller group than we were normally used to. So the fact that we were able to get that much done in such a short time was awesome. And we also found out that we were in the church and they needed the church on Wednesday. So we had to be out of the church and all of our stuff cleaned up by Wednesday anyway. So it gave us enough time where by the end of the day, Wednesday, we could have almost everything we wanted done. We still had to do some extras a little bit later. But we got a lot done in a short amount of time. If you flip to the next slide, you can see we had all of these bags sorted. We had to put which church they went to. And it was also sorted by boy, girl. All of our lists were what ages they were. So it wasn't just, I have to get these gift bags made. I have to make sure I know what age group these are for, if they're boys or girls, and put them all on the list. So it was a lot of work, and our team did an awesome job.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need your microphone. So We also had a construction project. I mentioned earlier that there's a new storage building being built. They just have an abundance of stuff that they need to process and go through. And they're facing a real big problem of they're having so much stuff shoved into so much little places that they can't actually distribute it because they don't know where anything is. So they started with literally a patch of dirt. And on the right, you can see a kind of progress photo. You can go to the next photo. So they had a goal by Friday to get to where you see this picture is. And they got there by Wednesday at lunch. So you can see how God's moving in these people. And the way you see God moving is Wednesday night it rained. So they're on scaffolding in Texas clay. So there's no way they could have even progressed any further on this building all week. So God gave them the ability to get exactly where they needed to be done in exactly the right amount of time. And then we had our outreaches. So the general flow of our outreaches, I would give a welcome and prayer and kind of, you know, introduce ourselves to the church and say, here's what we're here to do, and kind of just an itinerary for the day. And then our friend Zach here shared a gospel message with all the kids. He did a really great job, and Mark's translating for him there. And then we had a game. Usually we're really involved with the kids. We're doing games, we're doing crafts, but with COVID, we kind of took a step back from that. So we ended up making like a memory game that kids wouldn't have to really be super hands-on with. And we, to encourage them to get involved, which worked really well, was to give them extra raffle tickets for getting matches. So just a simple memory game was so much to these kids. And then you can see in the next photo that we had just raffle items, and these are basically extra things on top of gift bags they were going to get, and tend to really light up kids' faces when you see them. So if you go to the next picture, this is why we do what we do. I'm not sure how well you can see it, but the smile on this little girl's face for receiving school supplies and maybe a toy and some hygiene items is, it melts your heart. It's one of those things that keeps us going back and back and back. And then at the end, we'd pray for the people there and their community, and just that God's light would shine on them and bring them healing and protection. Did you want to talk about this?
All right, and this seems like also one of those, like, why is this photo randomly here? So while we were at Love Homes, which is their orphanage, which is actually the first place that I ever went to in Mexico, that was the first outreach we did. And so on Tuesday, we were going to two different places. One of them was Love Homes, and we were going to another one right after. So we're doing back-to-back. So we were kind of trying to be on a time crunch. We actually left earlier than we were scheduled to leave to try and get there and done. And so we were already a little bit behind because the kids weren't quite ready when we got there, and they had to bring them to the orphanage. So we were a little bit behind. And then at the end, Sit Lolly, who's one of the directors of the Love Homes, she had made tacos for all of us, which is what you see in this picture. And so we were already behind, but we were like, okay, well, obviously we have to eat tacos, right? But it was such a blessing because it actually kind of worked out. It was already like 4 p.m. by this time. We still had a whole nother outreach and crossing the border back in before we were going to eat dinner. So it was actually kind of nice that we got the food. And I know we also had one girl, I don't remember how old Zoe was, like 12, and she was already like, oh, I'm hungry. And so it was just perfect that we were all able to eat and hang out. And so it was just such a blessing that they, like, we go down there to bless them and then they bless us. And normally when we eat in there, usually the ministry pays the people to make us food, and that wasn't the case. They just did it for us just because they wanted to. So it was just awesome that they did that and how it worked out.
Yep. So why we keep going back, there's reasons listed up here, but I think this morning we're just going to share a little bit of testimony with you guys for why we keep going back. So my first trip was in 2010. I was 17, a senior in high school, and a little old lady at church sponsored me to go to Mexico. And I took it as, I'm going on vacation. You know, I've never been out of the country, you know. This will be fun. And boy, was I wrong. The things I saw and the things we did just tore my heart. And here I am 10 years later on my 15th trip, just doing whatever God tells me to do down there. So I want to use this as a little bit of encouragement to, Aaron and other youth have come up here, like, asking for sponsorships to go to camp and things. Like, those are the seeds that you're sowing. So if I can be a testimony to that at all, like, I had no expectation of, you know, going back, especially 15 times to Mexico as a senior in high school. So through the blessing of one lady's, you know, $300, look what God's done.
And then fast forward 3 years, my first trip was spring break of 2013. And it was kind of, it's kind of weird looking back, because at the time, I don't know how I even agreed to go on to something like this, because it seemed super out of my comfort zone. But it happened to be that our home church in Council Grove, where we grew up, there was a big group from there going. So I already knew a good chunk of the people that were going to be there. And it happened to be also, I think, the biggest trip we've ever been on. It was like 90 people,
yeah.
Just from Kansas. So it was a huge group. And this was before we had the big dorms. So, I mean, we're like cramming in the church and just cramming wherever we can to have people be able to go. But I already knew some of the people, so I guess that helped me a little bit feel more comfortable. I didn't really know what to expect at the time, and I was still kind of discovering how to be a Christian, and I was kind of a baby in my faith at that time anyway. And there were just, it just completely changed me for sure. There was, I mean, I just will never forget the first time we went to church in Mexico, which we don't always get to experience anymore, but we went to church in Mexico. I couldn't even understand half of what they were saying. And it was one of the first times I truly felt God's presence in the room. And I will never forget that. And there's multiple times on these trips where I felt that, but it definitely just like changed me and really started making me think about things more and really helped me to just grow and want to grow and want to get out of my comfort zone more and things like that. But I'll also say that I will never forget coming home in the van and just tears running down my face because I didn't want to leave. And I'll never forget that and how hard that was because I didn't want to go back home. I loved being around all these people that were all just Christians. Everybody's loving on each other. We're all just one united family. As you can see, becoming a family is one of those things on there. And you just don't get that when you're here, when I'm here at home. And when I'm there, I wasn't thinking about the fact that I was a teacher and I had all these things to do. I wasn't thinking about our finances or any of that. It was just I'm in a whole other little world. Not that it's perfect and not that there weren't conflicts or things like that, but that's one of the main selfish reasons that I always want to keep going back is just to get out of my regular world. And so I'll never forget that part. And then that was in March, that was spring break, and in June is when I got baptized that same year. And it was kind of led out of that first trip that happened. And on my second trip, talking about getting out of your comfort zone, Jason asked me to share my testimony in Mexico at that same church that we went to the first time, which was super out of my comfort zone. Literally couldn't eat breakfast that day. I did not want to do that, but I did. And so I felt like I've just grown a lot as being able to lead and do things that I would normally have never been able to do. So it's definitely something that, again, has impacted us both definitely greatly as far as that goes. I don't know if there's anything else I was going to add. I'm just trying not to cry too much.
No. It's one of those things that going to Texas almost feels more like home than going to our own mm-hmm. house we have here. That's the impact they've made on our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's...
So... All right. You want me to just
go ahead?
All right. So definitely thank you all for all the support that you've given us. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to stand up here, support in prayer, support financially, gift bags, whatever it was. We definitely appreciate it. We don't plan on stopping anytime soon. So we plan on continuing to go down as much as we can. Go ahead and flip to the next one. If you all have any questions or want to know more, there's a lot of different stories I could tell you. If you want to just hear more stories and want to know how to be involved, anything, we have plenty of information. It doesn't have to be right after service, even if any time if you wanted to know more. We're definitely willing to talk to you. And also, if anybody knows Miss D. Diamond that's sitting over here, she's also been on a trip with us before, so she can also tell you some about the trips, not even just us. So just so you know, we're not the only ones in Ottawa, Kansas that have been on these trips. So she's another person that you could ask about as well.
That's it. You want to close in prayer?
Did we miss
anything? I think that's it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and close us in prayer then. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to just share what we've seen and what you've done, Lord, and help us to always just remember this whole ministry and everything that we do going down is all because you've led us through this. You've allowed us to do it. You've grown the ministry. And so all of this is really just for you. And again, I just thank you for the opportunity that we get to share with everyone. And I pray that it impacts them in whatever way. It maybe leads some people to want to come on a trip with us at some point or support us in whatever way that they can. And so, Lord, just thank you again for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.